The Red Dirt D&D podcast is brought to you by Pro Laser Cuts. The Oklahoma company provides pre-made and customizable design laser cut dice towers, tokens, and more, developed by a gamer for gamers, and now available to enhance your tabletop game. Pro Laser Cuts products can be found at many Oklahoma City area game stores, local events, and now available online at ProLaserCuts.com. That's laser and cuts with a Z, Pro Laser Cuts.
Welcome to Red Dirt D&D. I'm Michael Cross, and I play Gaz, an orc barbarian, sworn protector of the Caliban frontier.
I'm Connor Schnold. I play Connor with a K, kobold sorcerer who's a continuous thorn in the Empire's side.
I'm Johnny Payne, and I play Zonimus Dinar, a paladin of dusk, using vengeance as a tool to protect the ones I love.
I'm Kiri Hester. I play Poppy Tea Leaf, the halfling desert druid determined to save the wild places from the ambitions of civilization.
I'm Brooke Bullock, and I play Mokrin Stoneshaper, a young dwarf sorcerer finding his true family as revealed by the secrets of the frontier.
And I'm Ash King, your dungeon master. Join us now for Tales from the Caliban Frontier.
Sitting in the comforting environment of Jasper Smithson's home and workshop, you all have had a good run of it, testing out the new skyship that Eopix and Jasper have been working on, that they seem to be planning to entrust to you all to give you a reliable transport to get you far, far to the west. Poppy, Zonimus, the two of you sit looking at the images of Wily and Fortunato shimmering in the scrying bowl before you. You hear Fortunato speak,
"Soon we will have the bottle in our grasp."
Do you know what he's talking about, Zonimus?
I don't know anything about a bottle.
Do you think they're just looking for a drink? Right? That's totally feasible. And totally not scary.
Well, we know you can trap things in a bottle.
Oh man, is Cimarron trapped in the way that we got the Mind Eater?
Eopix, what do you think? You were there.
I was there, but the end of the battle was chaos, to say the least. We felled Cimarron, and then Thundercrack. She did something, but all she would say was that as long as we guarded the keys, then he would never be able to return.
Mokrin.
Yes, sir.
On your maps, is the Whistlewind Cavern anywhere near the Obsidian Wastes?
Well, we know that there's some type of Valley of Destitute things, you know, that's out there in the west. It's definitely out in the desert part of the Caliban, as far as we know.
Eopix kind of comes over to you, looking over your shoulder at your map, and he indicates the area far to the west where you've got an indication that Cimarron's palace lies.
Right.
He indicates a big swath of area. That is what is now known as the Obsidian Wastes. The sand there is black as night, and there is much volcanic glass that cuts into the flesh. That is where the last of the battles against the Empire was fought, and the heat of the flames coming from many of Cimarron's warriors was what created the wastes.
An old friend, where on this map is the Whistlewind Caverns?
The Whistlewind Caverns would be not quite 200 miles away from the wastes, here to the southeast.
If I'm looking at this map and remembering the view over Wily's shoulder and the vision, is it clear they're heading to one or the other, or they could be heading to either?
From the vision, it seems as if for the moment they are closer to the Obsidian Wastes. Mm. You didn't really see anything that could be described as like the Whistlewind Caverns.
How accurate was their circle on their map in the war room in the Mesa?
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Connor?
Zonimus?
Thundercrack, it's been said that she's on this plane and she watches over us. We think that maybe even in the beginning, when we all first met up, we saw a glimpse of her on that train in one form or another. You don't think it's possible she would have imprisoned herself with him or left this plane as a key holder to add one more layer of protection? And Zonimus is saying this to you, not in a questioning you know things about Thundercrack way, but in a, I'm finally going to respect and embrace that you might. And do you have any wisdom on this?
You kind of see Connor hesitate, and it takes him a bit to finally, like, answer your question. And he says, I don't think that that's what happened.
So not like, sorry for eavesdropping, but Nightmare went with the Mind Eater and sucked them both into that semi-demi-plane thing. But you don't think that that's how Thundercrack traps Cimarron?
No. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think that that's what happened.
Connor, it seemed like dragons can talk to each other like the way we can talk with walkie-talkies, only they don't even need them. Like, they got some other type of mental magic. Like, constant message or something? That would be really cool. But it seemed like Nightmare can't reach anybody.
Well, from what I understand, the dragons have, like, an innate connection to each other. Different from any other thing in existence. That's why they kind of talk in that collectiveness, or at least that we're demonstrating from Nightmare. And from what I've heard, there's not like a lot of dragons anymore, so that might be why he's not connected with them anymore, or able to feel them like he was talking about.
Also, when he left 6,000 years ago, the dragons were numerous and all over, and now no one has heard from them for thousands of years. So maybe we actually need to find someone who might know what this bottle is.
I think my biggest question is the bottle a weapon that they want to use, or a weapon they want to keep away from others?
Well, let's keep thinking back to everything we know. Fortunato is called Wily, Your Highness. Mm-hmm. Maybe the bottle is a vessel to transfer blood from one generation to the next. Maybe it's a vessel to transfer the blood of Cimarron.
To get Wily to full power or something like that.
Or to get Wily drained and Cimarron brought back.
If anybody is going to know what actually happened, it'd be Thundercrack.
Right.
So we need to be asking her these questions.
Mr. Albix, it looks like, if I'm understanding the map right, we don't necessarily have to cross the Obsidian Waste to get to Whistlewind Caverns. Is that right? It's kind of, that swath doesn't come all the way that far south, right?
No, you would hit the Whistlewind Caverns before you hit the Wastes.
Okay, the possibility of Thundercrack is on our way.
And the faster we get there, the faster we can stop whatever they're doing.
Probably your visions are right now, right?
Yes, that is right now.
This bottle seems like something important that they need. I'm just having a hard time struggling with letting them have it.
So if you remember the murals, Thundercrack collected things from the Sky Sisters and from Sneaky Coyote, and I wonder if it's one of those things.
However, I also have to say, trying to find a bottle that we don't know where it is or what it does would be a fool's errand. I think Thundercrack is where we need to go. From there, we can move on to whatever quest we need to go on after that. But first, we need to seek out Thundercrack. But is there anything we need to do before we get there?
I think that it would be in our best interest to not put all of our eggs in one skyship, so to speak. And Yopix, I think you're going to be instrumental. I think we need to gather as much brain power and as much strength as we can. I think you need to find your fellow key guardians, keep them safe, work with them and figuring out what you can. You were the only ones here that were here.
So here's the thing. Strom would be the only one in the area over here.
Well, the good news
Isle
is
Islay would have been out in the wastes.
Yeah. I'm skeptical that she is still on this plane of existence.
Mother Orbal, possibly to the Ironwood. You could drop me off in the city of Shada in the west, and I could see what I could find out there.
I think that would be a great idea. I think we have a bunch of enslaved dragonborn and kobolds hanging out in a mesa that we don't have time to save, but could be unmonitored. I don't know. I'm just saying we have people out there that We don't want them to come with us, but we need everyone to be aware. I don't want anyone to be caught by surprise. If there's like a big explosion or something, and Caliban like goes into like a time rift, or like something crazy happens, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I understand. 5,000 years ago, we had this little rebellion going on. I don't know if you're aware of it.
I remember.
You might want to start about picking that back up again.
That's what I'm saying. So here's some other awesome helpful things. We have a bunch of warriors who have been training and fighting for 6,000 years who are very tired, but they're very good at their jobs, who just poofed in. And then we have a bunch of green dragonborn that are also probably willing to work alongside these black dragonborns. It just seems like there are a lot of people who would love the chance to fight for what they believe in. I don't want to hog it.
We also have ghost elves and wood elves who might be willing to join in the fight.
And probably orcs.
And gnolls.
If you want to get the gnolls, you got to go to Shada.
That's what I was thinking. If we go to the city of Shada, we might be able to talk to the gnolls. But we could do that. And maybe, Eopix, if you and Smithson and Kikiak could look into the green dragonborn at the mesa, or maybe even with the wood elves.
There's also a bunch of green dragonborn at the font.
There's stuff happening at that mesa that is weird. I would save that for when you, like, amass more people to help us out. We're obviously going to try and do as much as we can to stop the brunt of their force, but we don't know who else they have on board.
Exactly.
So where do we go next? Do we go to the city of Shada?
Of course.
Take Eopix with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We said that the Whispering Caverns is southwest, and Shada is just west.
Yeah, I think that they are too close to the Whistlewind Caverns. I think we need to go there, in case that's their next stop or their stop after.
To the city of Shada first.
No. Whistlewind Caverns and Fine Thundercrack needs to be our first. Because if Wily and Fortunato are heading in that direction, and we go somewhere else, that's giving them time in that area.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to head them off and get to Thundercrack before they have a chance to. We can talk with Thundercrack, find Thundercrack, get a clue to Thundercrack, and then go to Shada and try to rally troops there. Thundercrack first. We are this close. Every path has led us here. We just went through something dreadful to get clues to find her.
The counter argument to that is that we're a little low on supplies. We don't know where Thundercrack is. We're going to be wandering around the Whistlewind Caverns for a while. And we don't know that while we're there with Thundercrack, Wily shows up. We're going to be in big fight mode.
You're right. If Wily shows up while we're there, but if we go to Shada first and Wily shows up while we're at Shada, then when we show up in the caverns, Wily's already going to have been there and gone.
But we have no idea that he's going to Shada.
Right. I don't think he's going to Shada. Here's what I'm saying to counter Poppy's point. Is if Wily's going to the caverns also, and we show up after Wily's been there, then we've lost the cavern.
Does Shada give us anything other than invest the gnolls in a possible army?
And a way to restock.
Well, and they have, from what Ash may have hint dropped last time, we can get some really good material components for some higher level spells like Hero's Feast and stuff like that.
If we make it quick, we could.
I'm not saying we spend a lot of time in Shada.
Less okay. than a day.
Let me put it this way. If you go to Shada first, there is a possibility, since it is close to the lair of Thundercrack, that you might be able to find perhaps a brass dragonborn who can lead you and help you get farther into Thundercrack's lair.
It's labyrinthine, the Whistlewind Caverns. It's a big maze, and we're gonna get lost.
And again, if you also work to get the gnolls on your side, the gnolls are the fiercest fighters in all the Kalban, even tougher than orcs.
I'm just getting tired of losing.
I don't think that will be the problem. They have a large area to look. They don't know about the Whistlewind Caverns. Or they know about the Whistlewind Caverns. They don't know that the Whistlewind Caverns are Thundercrack's lair. They only know the lair is somewhere in, what did you say, a 50,000 square foot area that they will have to search. We know specifically where, and we know where we can get help to get inside the caverns.
I whisper to Zonimus, Eopix hadn't ever left us bad info yet.
Okay, we take the ship to Shada. Mokrin.
Yes, sir.
Bring all your maps and come with me, please.
All right.
For a wise and benevolent DM, I'm going to think real hard about that leather map on the table in the war room. Mokrin, you remember that map in the war room?
Well, yeah.
The detail that was drawn into that map. And on the maps that you have, I want to point to the pillars. Remember how these were drawn?
Yeah.
Remember how they're called the pillars?
Right.
Look at them. Why aren't they called the candlesticks?
Because pillars imply it's holding something.
But look at them, though. They could also be three large candlesticks. Do you see anything on this map? Do you remember anything from the map in the war room that might remind you of a bottle?
Oh, Zonimus, that's genius.
Maybe a bottle-shaped cavern, a bottle laying on its side. I'll pull a bottle out of my bag and lay it on the map and then lay it over. This could be that mouth opening. This could be where it gets bigger. A wise and benevolent DM.
Wise and benevolent DM says, this is a stretch.
Well then, I say we pack up and head to the city of Shada.
Is Iopix going with us too?
That is a question for Iopix. There is some things that need to be done here. However, we could use your help if you know of the city of Shada well.
I've been there a time or two.
Recently? Like us, Merc?
Give or take 75 years.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, Mr. Smithson, would it be all right if we stayed here the night?
Oh, of course, boy, yes. No, I'm not about to turn down some friends. No. Y'all get your sleeping bags and we'll get dinner going.
Mr. Smithson, sir, I've been meaning to ask you the next time that we came around here, do you have any, like, goes on, like, my type of face, but tinted glass? The sun hurts my eyes.
Let me see what I can scrounge up, boy.
Thank you. I'm not meant for the sun. Dusk and dawn are fine. Sun, like, beaming down, no.
I give Connor a big clap on the back, you know. Laugh.
Mr. Smithson, another thing that I remember once I knew an artificer who had the ability to make tools that could be used, especially instruments that could hold many different things.
Oh, bag of holding. Boy, that's one of the first tricks an artificer learns.
If you had one that we could use to hold all of our things, since we will not have a horses anymore.
Another question, can our horses stay here?
Yeah, we hadn't really talked about that part yet.
Actually, at this point, Iopix is just like, well, if you're worried about the horses, I can have Whirlwind lead them wherever you need them to go. He's smart like that, and I can go with you.
Would we leave you there in Shada while we look for the lair of Thundercrack? How would you get back, or should we just make sure to stop back by? I was thinking if we take Whirlwind with us, you could get back.
Whirlwind can fly. I'm sure he knows where Shada is. He could come by, right?
So I say that we load up our ship and head that way?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's go.
While our heroes are heading to places unknown, now would be a great time to join us as a Patreon member at whatever level works best for you. This helps us grow Red Dirt D&D with new music and sound effects, along with funding to go to conventions to reach even more listeners. Patreon members get our episodes 4 days earlier, access to our Discord server, where fans just like you get to talk with the cast of the show and full versions of our roundtable discussions. We're also having a special giveaway for our Patreon members only. It's a $25 gift credit to Die Hard Dice, but again, only to our Patreon members, and we will be announcing it during episode 100 as a way to say thank you for supporting us. But you have to join us for Friday, June 3rd, to be entered. So take a moment right now and join fellow fans like Germs, Hal, Nick, and Master Relay. Just head over to patreon.com/reddirtdnd. Red Dirt D&D is one of KOSU's many podcasts, but we have other shows you should check out, like this one.
Hey there, it's Kately from KOSU. In 2021, KOSU was one of 6 stations in the nation to take part in StoryCorps' One Small Step project. We were tasked with recording 25 total conversations between Oklahomans who were different from one another for a personal 50-minute conversation. To hear some of those conversations, go to kosu.org or find the StoryCorps Oklahoma podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You can find other great podcasts like the award-winning Focus Black Oklahoma at KOSU.org. As a fan of Red Dirt D&D, now would be a great time to let others know about us. The best way is to leave a comment or review on your favorite podcatcher. It lets others know about us and hopefully grow our fan base. You can also share us with friends and family through social media at RedDirtD&D on Twitter and Facebook. If you're looking for more content from Red Dirt D&D, you can watch Ash and I on Twitch talking about the world's best role-playing game on A&M Talk D&D every Tuesday night at 6:30. Find us at twitch.tv/reddirtdnd. Over on our YouTube page, you can find new episodes of Secrets of Monster Island on Mondays, and every other Thursday, you can watch Johnny, Brooke, and I on Plausible Deniability. We've also made it easier to find. Just go to youtube.com/c/reddirtdd. You can bring your own insights to our show on our wiki page at reddirtdnd.fandom.com. And you can learn more about us on our website at reddirtdnd.com. Right now, it's time to go up, up, and away in our beautiful airship flying high above the Caliban frontier.
You take the night to rest. In the morning, you all load up into the cutter. Eopix says his farewell to Whirlwind, giving the Pegasus the instruction to make sure that Cal, Thistle, and Buttercup make it back to the last stop safely before he comes back and hops onto the boat, curls a hand into the rigging and looks to Connor and Mokrin and gives a smirk and says, "So, who's at the helm first?"
"You get the honors, Mokrin."
"Well, I was going to give them to you, Lord Eopix, just because I know you like racing it."
"Stop it with the Lord!"
"Oh yeah, I forgot about that part." "Sure, I can take us out."
"All right."
"Before we go, Smithson, you got those glasses?"
"Yes, he presents to you. Reverse engineered, the same magics what can be used to create goggles of night, I present to you goggles of the day."
"Genius."
"Genius."
"Amazing."
"Fine lenses of nice quartz that have been dyed a nice blue color to cut out the harshness of the rays of the day."
"And about that bag of holding."
"Well, here you are, young gas."
"Thank you, Mr. Smithson. We'll stop asking you for so much favors."
"Oh, you're fine, you're fine. Gaz, I did take a look at your folding boat. Fortunately, I didn't destroy it, but the magics, I could not get them to harmonize in so short a time. I do apologize."
"That makes me sad. But we still have a folding boat if we do need it.
And if there's anything else we need to do, I say we head off."
"I'll climb back up into the boat.
I'm going to use my staff to cast Speak with Animals and have a safety briefing with Wildfire about boat safety."
"Very good. So, let us head to the city of Shada."
"All right, Markham."
"All aboard."
And I grab the rudder, twist the handle, give it that forward pressure a little bit, and we go.
You stand at the control module and flip all the switches, boop all the buttons, and with a ease, you take off.
"We should offer to pay Smithson something for all these presents he just done give us."
"We gave him 8 other flat crystals. He's just going to be a dwarf in a gold mine. He's going to find all kinds of great things to do with it.
He's going to put the rail service out of business."
"He's going to get himself in trouble is what he's going to do."
"Yep."
For the next 4 days, the miles of the Caliban frontier are eaten away beneath you.
And I imagine we're dipping her down and resting at night. And then take it back off in the morning.
Yeah, we only get an 8 hours worth of travel.
Right. And Mr. Smithson said we didn't want to burn it out.
Right.
We could run it, but we didn't want to burn it out with constant use. "Hey, look, Connor, instead of a big squinty bright thing, it's kind of a shady dark thing you can look out of."
"These glasses are nice."
You sail over the scrubland that is closer to where the last stop and Jasper's camp and, you know, that area of the Caliban frontier. And you sail over the Great Mother River, where you see that very brief green belt along the river. But once you get past that,
and you bank, starting to head toward Shada, you start to see the true Kalban Desert. Sand and rock as far as the eye can see, with just a few small pockets of water.
Steam and whistles. It'd be like chipping at a steel door to try to cross that thing. Look at that. I can't even see it. It goes to the horizon.
You ever been out this far, guys?
Oh, yes. We have actually traveled into the west very far. But it is very difficult to get into the more desert areas. Survival is mostly useful at night. But even then, that's when the dangerous creatures come out.
But I say, sooner or later, we'll be passing over the Citadel.
What Citadel is that?
The prison. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised you don't take me as a follower of Daga.
Oh, I remember Gideon talked about it once. If you're bad against Daga, you could throw it in Citadel. I'm surprised you ain't heard of it, Zonmas. It would feel like it would be a threat on your horizon in your smokes gang phase.
Our confidence was just that high. Or our egos.
They say only the worst of the worst are thrown in the Citadel, but...
Let me ask you. Is there any reason why we should stop at the Citadel?
Oh, no. No. No.
We don't even need to slow down. Just
whiz on by.
Very good. Then we shall continue. And I climb up into the rigging and just enjoy the wind through my hair.
So, how many days down are we when we get over the Citadel?
About two. Two and a half.
During the journey, Connor walks up to Zonimus. You see, he looks real hesitant about something. Tail kind of twitching in almost maybe nerves. And he looks up at you and... Well, it's no big secret that I have secrets, right?
We all have secrets.
I think I'm ready to tell mine. But it's a better conversation with everybody. Can you help me kind of round up the rest of them?
Yeah.
We can have Eopix take the helm for a bit.
Yeah, all right. I'll look up and motion to Poppy come over.
She comes over and she has been working, making something, and she puts a little flower crown of poppies on Connor's head. I made you a present.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to have a family meeting.
Okay, Wildfire, we're having a family meeting.
Poppy, can you whip up a glass of water?
Sure.
Motion to Connor.
Sure.
Lord Eopix, could you take over from Mokrin and send him back here, please?
As long as you stop it with the Lord thing.
Of course.
Your Highness.
I think everybody better sit down.
I assume we have like a little like eating area down in the hall or whatever, right? So Connor steps up on one of the chairs so he could be height level with all of you sitting down. And you can still kind of see the nerves kind of almost raking like Connor's body. And...
But you feel friendship through your flower crown.
Yes. And he goes, thanks for coming down here to talk. I have stuff that I need to tell you guys. We've grown closer as friends, but with you all being so willing to help out Nightmare, this seems more appropriate that it comes out now rather than later. I am a kobold of Thundercrack. She is my ruler.
War steam and whistles.
But not only that, I'm a spy for Thundercrack.
Red Dirt D&D, Tales from the Caliban Frontier, is Ash King as our Dungeon Master, Brooke Bullock as Mokrin Stoneshaper, Johnny Payne as Zonimus Dinar, Kiri Hester as Poppy Teely, Connor Chenold as Connor the Kobold, and I'm Michael Cross as Gaz. Special thanks to our Silver Star Paladin patron, Shenanigans Unplugged. Our theme music was created by the Cinemagician P.J. Castillo. Our incidental music comes from Jeffrey McBride. Our sound effects and additional music, courtesy of TabletopAudio.com, Sirenscape, and Monument Studios. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at RedDirtD&D.com. We here at Red Dirt D&D could really use your help in getting the word about us. If you like what you've heard, make sure and subscribe, rate us, and leave a comment. Also, tell your friends about Red Dirt D&D. You can also support the show at patreon.com/reddirtdnd. We have several giving levels to help us grow up big and strong. Join us next time as we go deeper into the Caliban frontier.
Out of character. Is she in a bottle? Maybe she put herself there.
Is she a genie in a bottle?
Like Sam. And he goes into the pit with Lucifer.
However, I also have to say, trying to find a bottle that we don't know where it is or what it does would be a fool's errand.
Ain't you ever heard of the saying, like finding a bottle in a desert? It's just
we are fools, my friend. But
we
you're
are.
Right.
But I also think that...
So this might be what you would call a fool's quest?
Yes, a fool's quest.
Nicely done. Nico, we expect some things, man.
But I think we do know where Nightmare's lair is, and that...
Thundercrack?
Bloody hell.
We also know where Nightmare's lair is.
We were just there.
You haven't said anything wrong yet. You haven't said anything right, either. And contact with everyone who's been in an episode this season. I'm talking Black Chrysanthemum, the hipster biker Vespa gang, the Mandalorian.
The Yodis!
Everybody. In the final episode, we could pull you all together in 90s trope this.
Just popping out of circles in the...
I'm so sorry. Don't even put that out.
On your left cap.
Exactly! Yeah.
So you get the Hulk, I'll get the army.
That's not a bad... I mean... Yeah, an army would be great. I don't know what this Hulk is that you speak of.
The wise and benevolent DM says, this is a stretch.
It was a stretch, good idea. Been,
holy crap, you nailed it.
Yeah, or, I know. I really thought we had found a secret
maybe
early.
5,000 years ago, the whistling winds, the winds weren't whistling, and so this was called the something bottle cavern, or... I don't know, brave!
No, it's fantastic! It's a great fan theory.
Let me see what I can scrounge up, boy.
Thank you.
Yes! We remembered.
Is that why you're squinting all the time?
Yeah.
I just thought you had beady eyes.
I mean, okay, that hurts a little.
Here, it would be okay if our horses take
you. Can you do everything for us? Is that...
Can you go on this quest?
Get the horses back to the tourists. The last stop.
We're going to eat some pizza while the DM role plays everything for episodes.
Side quest!
Before we go, Smithson, you got those glasses?
did you work all night while we were resting?
Yes, he did. You heard crashing and banging from the workshop all night.
So instead of rose-colored glasses, you have violet-colored glasses.
And about that bag of holding.
Well, here you are, young gas.
He just gives him a big tote bag. It's not really a bag of holding. It's just a big tote bag.
But gas thinks it's a big can hold all this stuff.
Look at all the stuff it can hold.
I'm going to use my staff to cast Speak with Animals and have a safety briefing with Wildfire about boat safety. We're going on a car ride.
Yes.
You can stick your head out the window, but... You cannot jump out the window.
Wee.
The final wee.
All the way down.
Yeah.
He's going to put the rail service out of business.
Mm-hmm. He's going to get himself in trouble, is what he's going to do.
Yep.
And that's tomorrow's problem.
He'll love every minute of it. I'm sure somewhere down the line there's another ragtag group of five adventurers that can help him out.
Catch more in campaign two.
Zipping my lip. Oh, look, more sand.
I hate sand. What citadel is that?
The prison.
Sounds interesting. Let's keep going.
Wait.
Some of us is having a really hard time with, there's everything. Let's just keep going.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised you don't take me as a follower of Daga.
Ah, I now remember the Citadel, but that was Gideon that knew about the Citadel. Just...
Oh, I remember Gideon talked about it. What? It's the City of Dale.
The City of Dale?
Oh, that's in a different book. I've read that book series, though. It's nice. No, the Citadel. It's hard to do in this accent.
Eopix and I are both posing as...
Both your hairs just yes.
Like the two of you pose together as if you're on, you know, a romance novel cover.
Yeah.
My friend, could you jostle the wheel?
Zonimus stands behind Mokrin and goes, huh, and he goes, what? And turns real hard in the boat.
Deck save!
Sorry, thought that rock was a turtle. We haven't seen it this episode. I'm sailing away,
free to face the life that's ahead of me. You know, you can't say that song without me having now sing the whole thing. So, I'm just like Cartman. I have to sing the entire song now. Okay.
Spelljammer.
I imagine we all kind of just like get like... Gaz is working on this one Sudoku puzzle for all 4 days. He gets one square done and it's wrong.
Acting, hold on.
It's art, right? It's when someone says I love you and you're not expecting it, and now your character looks like
you
a butthead.
The best time to hear I love you is when you're not expecting it.
Poppy disagrees.
I love you too, Connor.
I know.
Gaz!
Yes, I'm sorry. I am drawing figures of the creatures that we see as we fly around. Birds, of course. Little, almost like you do it like with an arc there and an arc there, and you get the bird. Look, that bird there. There's an arc there. We'll do that one.
Well,
yes, yes.
Come down here, and we're having a meeting. You can draw what we all look like sitting around talking.
Excellent. I am very good at drawing.
I'm a spy for Thundercrack. And can we end it there?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but yeah.
That's great.
Here's the thing. You had just said, I feel like Thundercrack's been watching us over this this whole time with the little pseudo-dragon, and my brain went, what if Connor's a spy? I swear to God.
You remember where we saw the pseudo-dragon? On the train.
On the train.
We never saw it again.
Oh, my God.
And then we saw Connor.
Oh, my gosh. With a polymorph and a thing and a... Oh.
Well done.